Это у маликомио!
Вы хотите меня видеть?
Да, да. Идите в спортивные, в рабочие обиды и принесите мне На помощь! На помощь! Don't cry! Hold it back!
All that hate's gonna burn you up, kid.
Keep some warm.
You want blindfolds? This fire is a genial condition. I never heard of it.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to You Have Tread on Me Radio. Tonight, I have Major Cross of the Ohio Minutemen Militia on once again. We're going to be talking about a few things. I knew Major had something he wanted to bring up, and I thought it would be good to get out. But, yeah, so let's jump right into it. How you doing tonight, Major?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, about as good as it's going to get over here. But, let's go ahead and bring up what you wanted to talk about. You were telling me a couple days ago.
Oh, OHMM has changed a little bit, but it's nothing that, there's a few rumors are going around where people are saying, oh, they lost their leadership. They didn't. Everybody's still going strong, moving forward. We're not a dictatorship anyway. So our militia is, our leaders serve, and they're voted in and voted out the way it should be. So, I just want to rest assured everybody out there that OHM is still going strong. We got a lot of things planned. We're growing. We're reaching out to new groups. Trying to stay away from the ones that are a little bit too radical, but, this militia is for everybody. Everybody. So, in unity, everybody just remember that, train together, work together toward that common cause. Everything's going to work out. But, we're not into this trying to snatch and grab militia units up and, using people's membership information on their websites to recruit from other people. That's just not something that we're going to allow on our website, because I'm sure nobody else wants to allow on theirs. But we've had a few that have tried to do that on ours, but just to put it out there, if you go on our website, that information is confidential. You're not to give it out or use it for other agendas. About all I had to say on that.
Okay. Now, I know we were talking about national level militia units and things like that, and I know that you had a few things to say about it, and we're not simulcasting tonight, so feel free to
there's a lot of guys out there going with the national type militias, and they're saying I'm not going to say any names, but, they're out there saying that they're a supply unit, but, when you take somebody's name into that and you're using the membership on through down the line, that's unconstitutional. Militias are statewide, and even that, smaller than that, really. I mean, they're just county-wide or township-wide or whatever the town. But in Ohio, we've gone statewide with ours, and we want to work with other constitutional militias and, just, you know, let everybody know, you know, militia is not a dictatorship. If your commander's not doing what he's supposed to do, say something to him. There's nothing wrong with that. But, don't let the other militias try to unify in that way, because then each state loses their identity. They should work on communication with each other and, you know, transferring supplies, but, you know, state is a state.
Okay. Well, from when I started doing radio shows here on the website, I started with How to Recruit, and that was a show I had with Amelia and Darren, July 4 Patriot, and then, you know, talked about recruiting and getting the word out and trying to break the taboo of the M word, and, you know, getting people understanding what we actually are about and breaking the trance. And, you know, from there it went to establishing leadership, to training, gear. I've gone through everything that a commander or somebody looking to start a militia, and, you know, I went through all that with everybody. And more recently, I went into some tactics with Smiter a few weeks ago, and I discussed gear and communications. So tonight will be the last of the series on how to create and maintain a cohesive unit. And looks like we're going to be ending the series with firearms. There's always the issue of AK-47 or the AR-15. And there's always, you know, complaining and moaning. But if you ask me, quick answer is what works for everybody, what everybody's comfortable with. You know, we're going to get into cost effectiveness and things of that nature later on in the show. But that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So, you know, Major, if you wouldn't mind weighing in on the AR-15, AK-47 debate just to start the show off and get us going.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of debates on that. Which one's better, the AK-47 or the AR? You know, one's more accurate than the other. But that's hard to say nowadays because you got so many different people rebuilding their AK-47s to be more accurate, but still, it's not necessarily if it's an AK-47 or an AR. It's what distance are you going to be fighting at? You're going to have your heavy gunner, your rifleman. You know, you got to realize too that even the military is looking at the ARs as not being effective over 500 meters. So anything after that, you should be using a 308. They're switching to M14s in some of their positions because they are more effective at a longer range. The range, what your tactics going to be? If you're going to be a guard, infantry, something like that, you're going to want your AR. AK-47s, the only problem with that is if your enemy's using it, the identification of who's shooting what is going to be hard to do. Plus, the biggest thing is the ammo, because you get into a cost there. You got to have four different types of ammo, because you have four different types of rifles being used in your unit. You also have to consider that because they can't just trade out ammo. And you can't trade mags. So if you guys don't have any guns, or you're thinking about getting new ones, and you can afford it, all get the same platform. I don't care if it's the AK-47 or the AR, but someone should have a more accurate weapon that's more powerful at a longer range. And it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have a couple people like that. And then you have your ARs or your AKs. You got to think about that. If you got two or three people that have ARs and the rest of your teams doesn't have any guns and they're going to get them, get the ARs. it's so much easier, and it's tactically, it's smarter. Because you're using the same ammo, same mags. So, you know, if you already have them, you know, the AKs, they shoot a lot of lead. And they're, you know, they're not bad at a certain point, but, again, if identification because of the sound, because an AK does have a distinguishing sound over an AR. But, it's just all knowing on who you're fighting too, but anything that you have that you feel that you're comfortable with, that you, it is effective tactically, is fine. It's kind of say hard what to say, but you know, because I'm partial to the Mini 14, the M14, M30, you know, Mini 30. But my Mini 14 will shoot the same as the ARs. They don't have the same mags, but they will shoot the same ammo. Mini 30, they will shoot the same ammo as the AK-47, but they have different mags. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to consider. If you haven't formed your units yet, go with the most reliable platform that you can find at the best cost. I wouldn't advise going and buying a bunch of AK-47s just because they're cheaper, because, you know, a lot of times when you buy a weapon, it's how much you pay for it. But ARs have their problems. AKs have their problems. Really, like you said before, it's a matter of what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I think there's a few things. This is me personally here, and you touched on all of them, really, that go into starting the unit and starting to standardize things. If you have a unit, two or three guys have AR-15s, there is an extremely cost-effective way to get everybody else outfitted with that. Once again, like I said in my past show, I don't get royalties or paid for by sponsors or anything like that. But Rock River Arms, you can put together an AR-15 for about $650. That's a lot of money. But if you go to a store or a gun shop and you look at a Rock River, you're talking $900, $1,100. You know, cut that in half. Order up some P-Mags or something like that. Those are $10-$12 a piece. Or you can get GI steel mags, even cheaper. It's what's comfortable for you, what's ergonomically fit to you as a person. Where you're going to be fighting. If you live in the suburbs, you're not going to need a rifle that will reach out to 300 yards. Right. You're not going to need to put some big old scope on the top of it. Probably won't even need a red dot. Yeah, it helps. But if you're talking suburbs, you're talking really close. You don't need any kind of optics at that range. So what's comfortable, what the unit has, what your unit has, and what can work with that unit, and where you're going to be doing your fighting at. Because that's what the gun's for.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be in a suburb area, your AR platform's going to be different than if you're out in the field. Just because of the fact is that, you know, the longer AR is going to kind of hard to shoot when you're running in between buildings and you're running inside of a house. That longer weapon gets in the way.
Right.
So you're going to want a shorter platform. AK-47s. Yeah, they're kind of short. Most of them have folding stocks. You can outfit those okay too. But, you know, it's, like I said, if you're gonna, it all depends on where your position is in the squad. If you're in the city, you have to take an account for that. If you're gonna be out in the country, and you got a little more versatility to, you know, to deal with. You can have a longer weapon. You don't need the foldable stock. You're going to be dealing with distance, not just up close fighting. In city, you're going to have up close fighting inside, outside, which is going to be a very hard situation because you got three dimensions to worry about there.
Yeah, it doesn't take more than a couple seconds for a firefight in the middle of the suburbs to turn into a, well, a shitstorm that you can't paddle out of.
Right.
And if you're going to be basing your system off of CQB, then think about every little thing that you put on the nose of that rifle is going to weigh it down.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, you don't need all the electronics and everything on your weapon. The less you have on there that can go wrong, the better you are. Yeah, you can have a red dot on there if you want, but be able to take it off and use your sights. Make sure that's sighted in. Know how to shoot that way. You know, if you got a scope, make sure you can take your scope off and still use your sights. And if you have to take it off, put it in its case, put it off to the side because you're going to be in close fighting. Make sure it's marked and you know where to mark it, so when you put it back on, you're damn near same where you were. Accurate.
Yeah, with there's a riser mount that you can get that you actually put the rings on the mount and then put the mount onto a carry handle or onto a rail. So that eliminates having to sight it in every time you pop it off and put it back on.
I know my red dot on my Mini, I can take it off, put it on, and it stays right where it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's all because it's just marked on the rails where I put it.
There's another thing with holographics, red dots, scopes, everything like that. That stuff can get fragged. So like you said, you need to be able to take it off and put it back on. But with holographics and red dots, or anything with an illuminated reticle, you need to have something with a common battery that you can find, and B, something with long battery life. Now, I can't remember if it was Trigicon or Aimpoint or somebody, but I saw a scope for about $1,300 in a gun shop that was solar powered. If you can shell out that kind of cash, great. But yeah, for those of us who can't, something with battery life, such as the aim points, will have to be something to consider. If you leave it on in your case and you don't go shooting again for another 2 weeks, make sure that your optic will turn back on or will stay on when you pull that rifle back out.
Yeah, I mean, just you definitely want to, if you have a red dot, I have aim point, and it's very long time before that. I've left it on overnight and it's just fine. But I have extra batteries too. And that's one of the things. Just keep three or four extra batteries in there. Those will last you a hell of a long time in your red dot. Amp point. But you have in your scopes, seems like you've got at scopes, I mean, you're only going to go so far, be effectively lethality for that 5.56, that 223, or that 7.62. You get into this 308s, then you're going to have a hell of a scope. A good scope.
But, yeah, that is something to also consider. You can't just pick any willy-nilly scope off
right.
the shelf somewhere. You need to have one that is specifically designed. There is no effective universal scope out there. At least I haven't seen one.
No.
At least not a magnified one. Obviously, the holographics, red dots, those are pretty much universal. But if we're talking hunting scope or anything magnified, that's going to be something you need to take into consideration also.
Right. Yeah, you can get a good scope for your AR or something like that. It doesn't cost a whole heck of a lot of money. You know, a couple $100 scope or even a $100 scope that's effective for what you're going to be using it for. But you just got to make sure it's for the right caliber of weapon you have. Take the punishment. And if you're going to be using it for anything like that, you know, you should probably think about a glare, glare filter for the end of your scope, too.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think about that. There is a glare off that. Know how to use it, shoot with it, but also shoot without it.
Yeah, that was my next point, actually, was have your scope and be proficient with your scopes or holographic sights, but make sure before you get a scope or red dot or anything, make sure that you are extremely proficient with your irons, because Murphy's Law applies on the battlefield 10 times out of 10. And the first time that you run out, grab that rifle, let's just say you trip, fall, and that scope gets fragged. Cracked right down the middle, and you have never trained or sighted in your iron sights. Uh-oh.
And they're not used to shooting that way. But, you're going to have gunners that, you know, in your fire team, you're going to have your fire teams organized in a way that you have your heavy gunners are going to be the ones who can spray a lot of lead, reach out far away. You're going to have your riflemen, most of them on the ARs, the AK-47s, everybody else on their weaponry, probably going to be like a 223 or 556. And need a couple of 50, things like that for people to reach out.
Yeah, this is how the, or at least is the way I see it. Please correct me if I'm incorrect. You have, let's say, a squad of five. You have two riflemen, heavy gunner, and marksman. Or that's four, whatever. That sort of mix-up is where you have the rifleman, the heavy gunner, which would be AK-47 or RPK with at least, I mean, we're talking at least 400 rounds available in drums or high-capacity magazines, and a marksman with a scope that would fit your potential battleground. So if you're talking a marksman in suburbs, that scope will have to have a magnification that you can dial up or down. If you have a scope that magnifies in at 300 yards, and you're a marksman for a suburban unit, you're going to have some trouble. So you need to be able to magnify that down, things like that. But, I mean, that would be proper, correct, Major?
Yeah. Yeah, your scopes are pretty much, I mean, if you're in city or outside in the country, you're going to be about the same. But it's, you know, you got to be, that magnification, being able to make sure it's a good scope is the biggest, most important thing on that. You know, the outfit of the unit with your rifles, just make sure that they're interchangeable to a point. If you got everyone's got a different weapon. I mean, just think of the logistics and the supply that you're going to need for that. That can get mind-boggling. Everybody having to get different ammo, different mags. One person runs out, he can't just say hey to his buddy and hey, throw me a mag. That's not going to be able to be. Can't do that. But I mean, you got to look at your gear. You've got your LPE and your mag pouches. You know, wear your equipment when you train all the time. Get used to wearing it. You'll be able to know how quick you can pull those mags out and then put them back in. Don't throw your mags on the ground. If you need a separate bag to throw your empties in, do it. But don't throw those mags on the ground, because you may have to reload. Imagine you will have to reload, but you're going to need those mags.
Yeah, that was I believe that was a show that you were on with me talking about gear. A $10 dump pouch on the internet, one of the countless numbers of surplus stores on the internet. $10 for a dump pouch. It takes a ball of about 6 or 7 inches on your belt.
Yep.
And the story, if for those of you who haven't, who weren't able to tune in, that I like to tell, in the Black Hawk Down situation in Mogadishu, the Rangers and Delta Force, they did get ammo resupply. They got a few pallets dropped in the middle of the street, and they retrieved the pallets, whatever. And they all realized that, oh no, we don't have our mags. We decided to speed reload and be all sexy, and they dropped us our ammo. It's all in stripper clips and loose ammo. Whoa. So a $10 investment in a dump pouch or roly-poly pouch or whatever will save your ass in the long run. And this is what it comes down to, is it's cost-effective. It is an easy thing to procure, even for those on fixed incomes or who are just tight. You know, everybody's got the issues right now with the cash.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, it's like, you know, you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of, $100 vest or a $100 backpack or anything like that. For $50 or $100, you could outfit yourself with everything you need. Everything. It's, you know, it's what you get. It's, you don't have to have the next generation stuff. You don't always have to have the greatest. You know, there's stuff out there that works. They used in World War II, in the Korean War, and Vietnam. They've got it. That stuff was work. It's cheap. I mean, you can get all of your gear for $100. You know, you're doing a lot better than that guy that spent $300 on his gear because you got $200 to spend on ammo.
Sorry, go ahead.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, save that money for the ammo, not for the high-tech mole gear. Not all mole gear is made the same. But, you know, you can go out there and get your LBE and your pockets, your bedroll, a 3-day assault pack and your butt pack and 2 canteens and your E-tool, I mean, for $100. Just about everything you need for $100. People got to, you know, can't find it, let me know. I'll help you get it.
Right. There are cost-effective ways to getting all of your gear. Now, I also mentioned in the last show I had you on about gear, these units who run around with nothing but plate carrier and maybe a battle belt with a pistol on it. Well, you are training with about 70 to 100 pounds less than you will be carrying as you're running out the door. You need to find gear that will last you, or gear that you can put everything into and last. You are dressing as though you are able to go back to base, refit, and rearm at the end of the day. You need to carry food, water purification, extra ammo, lots of extra ammo, and extra ammo. So training in nothing more than a plate carrier, you're only hurting yourself and you're endangering the lives and well-being of the other members of your unit. So that's what you train in, and a real-life situation comes and slaps you in the face, you aren't ready. You're out there and you're dogging it because you haven't trained with all that gear. I feel like I'm talking in circles. But, you know, for me personally, I have found a Molly vest that that has plenty of magazines available. With that, I have everything I need on my belt, gas mask, everything else, and a Alice pack. Everything on the belt is attached with Alice clips, and the Alice pack, I'm able to carry extra filters, food, extra clothes, socks, and ammunition. Now, aside from extra ammunition, you also need to carry more magazines or stripper clips, depending on the system you are using. So, yeah, that was all that was touched on last week, but it's worth a shot to throw it out there again. You know, there's no one firearms platform that will work for everyone. The AK-47 might be my best fit, and Major, you had said that the Mini 14, Mini 30 is yours.
Right, because the M14 would be a beautiful weapon for me to carry because it's, you know, because I'm big enough to carry a 308 and its ammo. Not that it'd be easy, but you know, it would be something I could handle. The Mini 14 is an excellent alternative to an AR platform. They're very reliable. The M1 Garand style action is just very reliable. It's accurate and is just as effective as an AR in any range. So I mean, it's cost effective, and you can get a platform, you can strip down the field, clean it, and then put it back together and then fire it. I mean, even if you had to, but very, very reliable weapon. Never had a problem with mine. They got the thicker barrel. They improved them. So, you know, anybody that had doubts about them because, you know, they've had one that was 10 or 15 years old, that's probably why, because of the thin barrel, they lose accuracy after a while. But the new ones with the thicker barrel, 5.56, 223, very, very good weapons. You can get them for about $650, and I'm telling you, it's every penny.
Now, if I may, I'm not trying to... I honestly am asking this question also to help inform the viewers. Are the magazines affordable and easily accessible? I mean, are there a lot of those, and are they affordable?
Yeah, the ARs, some of them are. I mean, you got Bushmaster out there. They're not that bad.
No, I'm sorry, for the M14s and Mini-14s, Mini-30s.
An M14, you're gonna pay $1,400 if on up for them. I mean, they're about the same cost as a really good platform in an AR, but they're just a 308. But they're heavy. They're a long range weapon to reach out and touch somebody from a long way away, and it's semi-automatic. Very nice ones that can be used. You know, but 308, that's, you know, 308's heavy rounds. You know, people don't realize that. I mean, it does make a difference between a 308 and a 5.56. Big difference. Especially when you start carrying about 400 or 500 rounds with you.
If I'm not mistaken, that was one of the reasons the United States military moved from the M14 to the M16 was to... carry more ammo and get more lead down range, and while still being able to carry all that, which they made the move from the 308 to the 223-556.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. But I mean, like right now, this in Afghanistan, I was reading an article about one of the rifle magazines, yeah, brand new one, where they're thinking about that the ARs are only lethal up to 500, I think it was 500 meters. And they are switching, a lot of their guys are getting the M14s again because they can reach out and hit somebody from a long distance. They're more effective and they're just as reliable.
Yeah, the M14 is a really good rifle.
It's tested true.
tested, indeed. Now, another thing that has just come out recently was the 6.8. It's about $3 a round, if I'm not mistaken. But it is the size of the AK-47 round with the speed and accuracy of the 223-556. So it comes down to, hey, if you can afford it, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you can afford all your ammo and nobody else has got a 6.8, yeah, I mean, you better buy a hell of a lot of ammo because you're going to need it or be able to reload. That's something that you know people don't think about. If you buy that weird ammo and you can't reload, once you run out, that weapon's useless.
I'm going to move on a little bit here. Something that I've wanted to bring up on my show a while is the unsung hero of the battlefield, the shotgun. And it's outstanding reliability, at least in the pump action, and its versatility, how many different munitions it has. You know, you're talking sabots, birdshot, slugs, reduced recoil slugs, double up buck, all this other stuff that you can use for different situations. While they are a little bit on the pricey side, I know Hornady and all these other high-end companies have very specific rounds for very specific jobs, such as door breaching, things like that. Now, like I said, it's the unsung hero. Working as a gunsmith, the semi-automatic shotguns, most of them, unless they're you're talking the $2,000 semi-automatic shotguns, they are very complicated, and they are prone to all of the same problems as a semi-automatic rifle. Jams, issues with feeding. Like I said, unless you get that $2,000, $2,500 Ithaca or these expensive ones. Now, a Mossberg 500, a 590 A1 or Remington 870, extremely cost-effective and extremely useful in your unit. Never know. A slinging double-aught buck downrange, that's a lot of firepower, especially if you have 8 plus 1.
You get your hands on one of those AA-12s? Oh, yeah. That'd be sweet.
That would be.
Those are nice shotguns. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that have had shotguns all their life that are very reliable. It really doesn't take much to put a new stock on that and make it a tactical.
Exactly. It's, once again, I sure hope I'm not getting in any trouble here. With mentioning all these products and names, once again, I'm not getting paid for it. The Mossberg Maverick 88 is a shotgun that you can find cheaper than dirt or any of these other places. It's a $200 shotgun, but it's a Mossberg pump-action shotgun. And all of the parts are interchangeable with the Mossberg 500. So you can, spend about $200, let's call it $215 after taxes, on this shotgun, and then get internals for a 500. And you're talking for a $500-$600 shotgun for the Mossberg 500. And you're talking about spending half of that, having a Mossberg 500 with a different name on it, because the cosmetics and externals for the Maverick 88 and the Mossberg 500 are the same. The only difference is lower-end internals, but they still work. It's got the Mossberg name. It's a good name. It's a proven name. Now, sure, it'd be a lot easier to pick up a Remington 870 or an actual Mossberg 590 A1. Both of those shotguns were taken into the military proving, testing, whatevers. and they're both extremely reliable. And I know people who love the 870. I know people who love the 590. Me personally, I'm partial to Mossbergs. But that's just me. Works for me. I trust it. I've used it. You know, it just goes right back to the same thing that we've been saying since the start of the show. It works for me specifically. Now, with shotguns, that you don't need to take into consideration magazines unless you're using Saigas. If everybody bought 7 or 8 boxes of a birdshot or double out buck or something like that, have 2 or 3 shotgunners on your unit or on your fire team or squad, and they're outfitted. You don't need to worry about screaming for extra mags. Hey, I'm out. Toss me some mags. You don't have to worry about dump pouch or anything like that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing everybody should try to do is, and I'm sure a lot of people already are capable of doing it, is reloading. Not just your rifle and your pistol mags, but your shotguns too. It's cheaper. I mean, if you save your brass, don't buy that cheap ammo crap when you're shooting. Use that for when you're plinking. But, you know, your ammo that you shoot just to make sure that your weapon is fine, make sure it's good brass. You can reload that a couple times, 3-4 times. And it's cost effective. You can, you know, store powder, store your bullets, store your brass. I mean, it's cost effective that way to shoot. And if it does happen, you've got a way to access more ammo, a lot more ammo, than most people. Have ways of reloading. Someone in your unit that can reload. That's something that, I found is very cost effective for me. Saved me a lot of money.
I have to apologize to not just you, Major, but also to my listeners. I don't usually talk about the news, but something that was brought to my attention by Knight 3000 in my chat room here. The Supreme Court of the United States decided May 16th, 2011, that the Fourth Amendment no longer applies. Now, this is May 16th. I haven't heard about this until recently, until just now, actually. So, started in Indiana, where the Supreme Court of Indiana decided that police officers and deputy sheriffs and state police officers no longer need a warrant to enter your home. And now the Supreme Court says the same thing. I discussed this with Dave last week. I'm not sure where exactly they get the lawful authority to decide whether or not the Bill of Rights is constitutional. If that is to be changed, there needs to be a convention in which everybody agrees that the Fourth Amendment doesn't work for us anymore. Pretty sure not too many people are on board with that.
Well, they haven't been obeying the Fourth Amendment for how many years? I mean, just barging into someone's house, regardless if you got a warrant or not. I mean, that's how do you know that warrant is legal or lawful? Most of them aren't, because I don't think most of them are done by a grand jury. I think most of them are done by a judge, and they're just taking their word from the police officer that it's a reasonable reason to go into someone's house, and it's not sworn under oath. They take a lot of things for granted just to get those things done and quickly out there. But we can sit here and argue. They're going to go ahead and do this. Our Constitution has been destroyed for a very long time. They've changed the words, definitions, what they really mean from what our founders said. And that right there is just as bad as what they are doing now. Because when they change the meanings of those words and those sentences and those paragraphs, they've destroyed the Constitution, and it's no longer the one our founders founded this country on. And this is the reason why these courts and everything else have been able to do what they do, because these lawyers and these judges play with these words. But, you know, with me, they can say anything they want. It's not going to mean nothing to me, because if they try to enforce it, I'm going to enforce my rights also. It's going to come to that, because people are not getting up, getting their committees of safety together, getting their, you know, their towns ready until after it happens. And it's going to be too late for a peaceful resolution after that. People have to train, be prepared, and know what they got to do when it happens, because they're not too far away that they're going to slam the door on all of us. What was it? Hillary Clinton not too long ago said that, it wasn't Hillary Clinton. It was Brady's wife is working on gun control under the radar. So people are working on taking our rights to bear arms away from us. And I don't think it's too far away from them putting up posters saying it's illegal to have firearms and stopping all the people from selling guns. Because if they're taking the fourth away, not too long before they go after that second again. And the Supreme Court says, due to the fourth not being a legitimate law, they might just say, well, then if you don't have to save the lives of many officers going in to these houses, they'll have to take guns away from them to protect the officers. So, I mean, their logic, they're going to take them away. We'll try. But they're going to... It's not far away.
This is something I've said since 2009. I think it was June or July 2009. The Supreme Court had ruled that the Miranda rights, now I know these aren't constitutional, but they are very reasonable to have. The Supreme Court ruled that you no longer have the right to have an attorney present while police initiate questioning. Now, I got on to my YouTube, and I said, they're not going to stop. And what do you know? They haven't stopped. And you are exactly right, Major Cross. They will not stop at the fourth. They will not stop at the second. They will not stop. Now, this is it. This is the point in which we need to get committees established.
Yes, we should have done it before. But, I mean, I think Indiana was just a test state to see how pissed off people would get about them attacking the fourth. And I think now they're going after and they're trying to widespread it. But if people start uprising against it, they're going to attack the second head on. But they're still attacking it from underneath the radar. They're trying to, you know, it's constitutional carry, period. That's it. There is no, I don't need a CCW, I don't need to someone give me permission to carry a gun. I know the reasonable and the responsibility behind a weapon. You want to train people, the safety and the responsibility behind carrying a weapon before they purchase them, if you've never done it before, I have no problem with that. But to say that I can't carry one, or I can't have one, that ain't going to fly with me. Never. I'm 100% constitutional carry. Period. If I want to carry one on my hip, I'll carry it on my hip. If I want to put it in my jacket, I'll put it in my jacket. Period. That's it. That's the way our founders intended it to be, and that's the way it's going to be. They can take me to jail for it. I don't care. I'm not going to give up my rights. They're not negotiable. Ain't going to happen. Night 3000, I understand it was a case of mistaken identity, and they shot the guy 61 times and shot 71 times. And it was ridiculous what they were doing it for and why they did it. It doesn't matter if it was a mistake or not. It was unlawful. Even if it wasn't mistaken identity, it was still unlawful for them to do so. Because of the reasons why. I mean, they were... is stupid. It wasn't like they were breaking into a meth lab or something, or some gangster house with 50 people holding the hostage. It was stupid. They're gonna, stand together. Your pleasure. And up there, Doc. This is what I remember.
You're breaking up a bit there, Major. Coming in every couple seconds.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, we're going to have to resist, and that's just, get as many as you can in the militia. Go after your 912 groups and your Tea Party groups. Talk to them about what a militia should be. Stay away from conspiracy theories. Just get the fact of what you know. That's enough. That really is enough. Afterward, we get our country back, we restore our government to where it should be, we can worry about the conspiracy theory to bring out the truth. But till then, work on the facts where we should be. That's right. You first ask questions later. Basically, that's where they're forcing us into that situation.
Well, he who makes peaceful revolution impossible makes violent revolution inevitable. Now, I am not about to run out and start something funny. That would be detrimental.
That would be rebellion, and that's unconstitutional.
Exactly.
That's where a lot of people don't realize. If you're rebellious, that is you making the first move. That is unconstitutional. If you are resisting, that's constitutional. But once you resist, you can do whatever you want to that government. You can dismantle it, take it apart, because they have shown that they are not the government you put up. They started attacking people. At that point, take them out, reestablish it the way it should be to a Republican form of government once again, the way our founders intended it to be, restore it from the beginning, start over. Common sense.
Well, I do not wish for anything bad to happen. I want this to be solved peacefully and lawfully. But do not mistake me for someone who will hesitate. If you come into my home with a loaded gun without a warrant or probable cause, you will be met with resistance. Promise.
You come onto my property in the state of Ohio with a loaded weapon unlawfully, without a warrant, whatever. I got the castle doctrine, which means I can shoot you.
Fortunately, many states do. I know Montana calls it the Make My Day law. And believe it or not, here in the People's Republic of Illinois, we also have the Castle Doctrine. Like everything else here, certain stipulations, can't shoot them in the back. There's a story of a man who is in prison because he shot a rapist in the back as he was trying to get to his daughter. That's kind of the story around here, and thankfully there are states like Ohio and Montana and Texas and these places where personal liberty and the defense of yourself is valued to some extent. But the Supreme Court ruling that the Fourth Amendment is null and void is unlawful.
Yeah.
It. I know there was a rally in Indiana after the ruling. That was earlier this week, I believe. A rally in front of the state capitol of, I don't know, 1,000 people. I do. There is a time and place for peaceful assembly, but the kinds of assembly that we see now are clearly ineffective. Now, I'm not saying riot, I'm not saying start shooting. What I'm saying is don't leave after a few hours and go home with your tail tucked between your legs or puffed out with your chest puffed out thinking that you accomplished something, because guess what? You didn't. Now, I never got into what happened in Wisconsin, but I must say their form of peaceful assembly worked. At least it should have. Staying there, how long did they stay there? 2 weeks? And when the police said, you have to go, they looked at them, looked at how many people they had. Oh, yeah, well, I see a whole lot of me and very few of you. We need to understand that they get their power and just authority from us. Obviously not anymore. But that is how it is supposed to be. Right. We are in charge. We are their boss. They do what we say. And obviously, as you can see from the Tea Party candidates, quote-unquote, the re-upping of the Patriot Act, they're not listening. The passage of universal Obamacare, as everybody calls it, passed. The bailouts passed. They don't listen to us anymore. And when the government fails, as it has today, we stop turning to the government and we turn to ourselves, govern ourselves as we were meant to do,
yeah,
as this country was founded upon. And people say, oh, times have changed. No. You are right, times have changed. But the Constitution has not. It is non-negotiable. If you are listening, even if you aren't listening, if you are an American, it is your duty and right to uphold that Constitution and protect it and defend it. It is the lawyer's job to bend, contort, and construe. It is your job to preserve, protect, and defend. No questions. Somebody had the nerve to tell me, well, you're into that Constitution thing, and I'm into whatever, and that's my right. Really. You have no rights unless you understand them. It is not your right to sit down. I take it back. It is your right to sit back, watch the game, and drink beer. Do you know how much easier our lives would be, Major, if we just sat back and watched the game and just kind of dealt with whatever came?
Yeah, that'd be nice if I could do that. I would love that. It's something I dream about. But, you know, I'm also, I'm ready. I'm sick and tired of this stuff that's going on, and I'm not going to play by their rules anymore. But I'm just going to play by the constitutional rules that our founders laid before us and our responsibility as Americans to maintain that document and that way of life to pass down to succeeding generations. And I am not going to give up that responsibility because I took the oath. And you know, as soon as we start getting a little tougher with our politicians, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. But we have to affect our states first. Screw the government, because basically if you control your state, the government has no power. Go to your local governments, make sure they're constitutional, and make that go up. Just because you're right there by that township trustee, you're right there living next in the same neighborhood as that mayor and everything else. You know, just let him know if the majority of the people in that town constantly let him know, we put you there, we can take you out. Anytime we want, if you don't do what we want you to do. And the problem is, people don't do that with them. Not everybody. need to speak as one voice. That's where the committees of safety come in. You can stop them from doing this. You just have to affect your local levels.
Exactly. County.
I mean, if we controlled all the counties in Ohio, the governor would have to listen to us. Because we'd be bigger than those lobbyists. Because we don't have to offer him money. He won't have a home. So he's going to need all that money to go someplace else because he ain't going to be welcome in Ohio if he doesn't get his shit straight. He doesn't start acting the way that people want him to act, he's going to be gone. And that's what we have to do to our elected officials. It's not their responsibility to run this country and to do what they're doing. It's our responsibility to make sure they do what we tell them to do on how we want them to run the country. So people's got to stop voting and just sitting back and drinking that beer, but do the responsibility of their citizenship to make sure that elected official does what he's supposed to do. And it's too late to sit there and keep writing them emails and stuff like that anymore at the, you know, congressional level or at the presidential level. It's and voting's an insult to injury because, you know, you don't vote for the damn president anyways. The Electoral College does. So, you know, we voted for, you know, the president. Al Gore would have been president. He won the popular vote, but Bush won the electoral. So, you know, it's not us that vote. They vote who they want there. They do it with our senators instead of our state doing it. It's messed up. They've changed the Constitution way too many times to be able, and it's too late to work with the paper we have now. We have to restore the original Constitution that our founders put forth before us and make them work within that. We're spinning ourselves into oblivion. People got to learn to work and to survive the way our grandfathers and grandmothers did. You go into an older person's home, you'll see furniture from the 1940s, 1930s. You go into a home now of some kid that just, you know, started living on his own, he's got Walmart furniture. That stuff will last, what, maybe 6-7 months? We're consuming everything made from everywhere else. I mean, we're cutting our own throats because we're not willing to sit down and sacrifice that plasma TV or that Sunday football or that NASCAR until we get this country done. I mean, once we get the country restored, we can, I mean, hey, I'll be the first one there at the football game or the NASCAR race. Right now, I think there's other more important things to do.
And with every, you're exactly correct, Major, in everything that you've said. And with every problem that comes up on my show, I would like to present solutions. Now, to these politicians who aren't listening, who are disobeying their bosses, what can we do to stop that? Well, we need to look at the effective revolution that happened, arguably the most effective revolution that has happened in history, the American Revolution. In towns, you know, Boston is obviously the one that everybody's heard about because it made the biggest stink. Towns like Boston and everywhere else in New England, they stopped going to jury duty when it was ordered by the Crown. They stopped going to the royal town meetings held by the royal governors and everything that the Crown required them to do. They simply ignored. They didn't just ignore, but they established their own government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have left the responsibility of this country to jackals and thieves. Prime example, the Tea Party candidates who stroll into their offices with smiles on their face because guess what? Nobody cares. They know that they can vote for martial law tomorrow and nobody would say a darn thing.
You know, there is one thing I fear with that, though. I don't mean to, like, break your stride.
No, go ahead.
A lot of what I'm going to see is I'm afraid I'm going to see a lot of people going in the streets, standing their ground right there in front of them, and stopping these riot patrol police and causing these punishments. And all of a sudden, we got martial law where they really stomp down. It's got to be a little bit smarter than that because, yeah, that's going to be the point. We're going to war if people start doing that because they're going to do it. You're doing exactly what they want you to do. Round you up all in one little area so they can hit you all at once. We didn't win every war in the revolution. We didn't win a lot of them in the beginning because we tried to face them, tried to fight on their level. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody in the militia that's capable of fighting the military on their level. Guerrilla fighting, yes, but face-to-face, I don't think so. That's going to be a very short revolution.
Well, the Vietnamese, if I may cut in, the Vietnamese are literally batting 1,000. And when it comes to fending off foreign occupiers, and I can't for the life of me remember what the cool Latin whatever term is for it, but they had a determination that they will fight and fight to the death as long as it takes. So no, we will not win in a toe-to-toe battle with any Western army. We don't have logistics. We don't have supply lines. We don't have the resources.
And we don't have the training.
That too.
But I mean, the thing is the American people have a more determined attitude than any Vietnamese or any other country in this world. We are unique in that aspect that we will not give it up. We will not give up our freedom. We're not going to be repressed. There is nothing you can do. You do it to enough of us, we're done, and we'll work together. You attack us, that's the last thing you're going to do. And it really, seriously, I don't doubt one bit that we're going to win this thing, and we're going to get our country back. But it's going to be hard, it's going to be long, it's going to be very trying to a lot of people. A lot of people are going to die. It's just a fact. If it turns into war, that's what's going to happen. And that's what they want. So you know it is, because that's what they want. They want us to fight back. They're just trying to get us to make the first move, which we can't do. We cause harm to those soldiers' families here in this country. They're not going to come back here and support us. I guarantee you that. So we cannot be the ones who start this. We have to be the ones who resist it. And resistance and defense against being attacked by the people who want to push their agenda upon us is not attacking first. No one says we have to sit there and take it. But we cannot be the ones that go out and start it.
All right. Now a solution to that, if I may, sir. Let's say, I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way, I agree with you completely. A solution would say there was the Ruby Ridge Committee of Safety in Idaho. Oh, well, there's Bradleys and all these fun little vehicles and troops and snipers. Oh, they're on their way up. Do they have a warrant? No. Okay. Well, let's send the commander of the Ruby Ridge Militia out to meet the commanding officer of the situation on the federal side. Hello, do you have a warrant? Okay. Well, if you don't leave, Just know that you are surrounded by hundreds of militia right now. Do you think Miss Weaver, Mrs. Weaver, would have been shot in the face holding her baby? Do you think if the Waco Committee of Safety had met the ATF commanding officer and surrounded Waco before they could, do you think those women and children would have been burned alive?
No. But you got to remember, that's not the militia that goes out and meets them. That's Committee of Safety, and the militia cannot be Committee of Safety.
Right. I'm sorry, did I say the militia?
Well, the militia commander went out there to meet them. That shouldn't be the militia commander. That should be the Committee of Safety to go out there and say, you do not have authority.
I apologize. I'm getting a little caught up here.
They don't give them an option. They tell them, you don't have the authority. Because the majority of the people in this county or in this township say no to what you're planning. That's all they need. But they do need to act upon the authority of the people, and they have to have the people to back up the Committee of Safety. Committee of Safety, those 12 guys just can't go out there and make up whatever rules they want and say this is what's going to happen. They still have to have whatever they decide voted on by the people of that community. I mean, that'd be no different than what we got now. So many people doing what they think is best. That's not what they should be doing. They're not voted in there to do what they think is best. They're voted to do what the people think is best.
Exactly.
The way to do that is to have everyone in the communities. I mean, if the person doesn't want to vote on an issue the Committee of Safety is bringing up, then his vote doesn't count. He either has to say yes or no. It's your responsibility as an American to understand and maintain that Constitution, not that politician.
It is not the Constitution's job to protect us. It is our job to protect the Constitution.
Right.
I said that a few times. And I do apologize. I did say militia commander. I apologize. A little caught up in the moment there.
Yeah, we've all done that. I do that too. I'm sure I've said a few things that weren't exactly correct, but a lot of times I speak from the heart and from my understanding of what our founders wanted us to be. And it saddens me to see that we've gotten to this point, but it also is an exciting time in life to be part of the restoration of our country that others have died for to protect.
I wouldn't want to be alive in any other time.
Me either.
This is, how does that quote go? If there need be trouble, let it be on my watch so that my children might live in peace.
Yes.
I'm doing this for my posterity. I'm doing this for my family who came here on the Mayflower. My family who was here during the Revolution, the War of 1812, and so on. I can't live a life of watching the game and drinking beer because it would be easier. I can't do that because I know that when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to have to look my Grandpa Joe in the face. A man who jumped out of a perfectly good airplane days before the invasion of D-Day, deep behind enemy territory. I'm going to have to look him in the face and say, it's just easier to watch the game. I didn't really care. He was fighting for everything that I believe in and stand for. I can't go to heaven and look at my family who formed this nation and say it was easier to watch the game, so I sat on my ass. This is everything that has happened has brought me to a point of extreme frustration. Not so much in the government, but more frustration because I haven't done anything. Now, once again, I do not advocate violence. I do not want it to come to that. So do not take what I say out of context. This needs to be changed. No, I take that back. This needs to be restored. And although I want it done peacefully, if you are an aggressor and you come to hurt me without probable cause, without a warrant, and you come into my house, I will not hesitate and you will be met with resistance. Mark my words. Thank you, Knight. Thomas Jefferson said a lot of good things. What I'm frustrated about is, what would he say if he were here just for 20 minutes? Well, we have a standing army. We have the privilege to keep and bear arms. It is no longer a right, and that is not arguable. Ooh, let's see, we have the Patriot Act, which eliminates most of the Bill of Rights.
Which was renewed.
I'm sorry?
Which they renewed.
Oh, yes, renewed. The Tea Party Patriots, who, so vehemently opposed it during their campaign. Yeah, stand-up group of men and women. They lied to your face. Got into office, took your donations and your money, and then they stabbed you. Whew, they stabbed you in the back.
They were gonna, you know, it's like I said before, I mean, you can't put a few people into that government and try to fix something that's totally broken. It's unfixable as it is right now. You would have to replace every congressman, every agency director, every Supreme Court justice. You'd have to replace all of them in order to fix this government. And how long would that take if you did it by election process? Longer than what we have. 2-3 people are not going to do a difference. 10 people are not. 30. A president is not. He doesn't have that authority. And I wouldn't want to give anybody that authority in the first place to change what is going on in this government, because unless you change all the directors of all these places and all the people working behind the scenes, it's not just 535 people. It's thousands. It's 3.3 million of them that are behind the scenes working this and getting a paycheck, regardless of what you get. They'll take every last dime you have for their retirement, their benefits, and their vacations, and say, screw you, you don't have a right to bargain that with me. You don't have a right to work with me on that. And they work for you. But because they have union in government, state governments, they're getting away with it. The private, unions are fine. They need to stay out of the politics 100%, work within their areas, but stay out of government politics, period. That's nothing different than a lobbyist. We can change this government if we have the committees of safety established and we effectively go after our state, local governments. Change it there, the government, the federal, will have no choice but to change, because they'll have no authority, because all the states are telling them, bend over, because it's coming. They're not sending them no money no more. They're not going to collect taxes for them no more. That's what it would take. Stop sending them tax dollars. Well, how can you do that? Well, you'd have to stop working, because that workers, that company is still going to do it, because they're not willing to risk their company from being shut down. There's a lot of different things that have to be done. But it's not going to work within a government that is presently in office today. Did we lose Fox? I think we might have lost Fox. Can everybody else hear me? Hello? Dave, can you hear me? Oh, hold on.
Hello?
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to get everybody to... I think it went down. Okay. I'll keep it. I'll keep it going. Okay. Talk to you, Pew. Bye. Yeah. Fox's internet went down. Yes. Anybody that wants to come on over and work out with us, Northwest Ohio, come on over. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, Fox should be on here pretty quick. But his internet went down. But we've got a lot of things planned for 1st Brigade. It's going to benefit all the other brigades also. And we are going good in the other brigades in Ohio. But there he is. Yep, he's back on. Ah, okay, excellent. All right. Well, he's going to be on here pretty quick. But the biggest thing is you got to know your rights, know your constitutional rights, talk to people about it. Get on things like Freedom Connect. Get in with your 912 groups, your Tea Party groups, because most of your Tea Party groups in your neighborhoods are going to be like, you know, what we're doing isn't working. We need another solution. They're all asking for answers. What should we do now? This is the time, with the knowledge that we have, to go to them and say, this is how you have to do things right now. You have to get your community together, have a real town hall, without the politicians, and talk about committees of safety and have everybody understand how they work. And it's not going to be a dictatorship, because those people only can be there for so long, and then they should step down and let the other people in that community have a chance to participate, do their civic duty. And that's the thing is, bring back that civic duty. Want it to be mean something. Just because they're a civilian, they never served, doesn't mean they can't do their patriotic duty to this country. They can't just sit there on their hands and let all these other guys go fight wars and then come back here and then try to fix the problem. It's our responsibility to keep this country safe. So when they come home, they got a good home to come to and their families are safe while they're away. That's our responsibility as Americans. We fix it.
Now, the idea behind career politicians was not even an idea. The thought of career politician was out of the question. It was a part-time job. You did your duty for a couple years, a couple terms, and then you went back to your working in the silversmith shop, doing whatever you did to make your living before. These politicians are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, not to mention what they get in campaign donations, bribes, and otherwise. And they don't have to make any other money. They don't have to.
Right. They don't. Because these senators, they only need to do 2 years, a 2-year term, and they can collect 100% of their benefits, 100% of their unemployment. That's $200,000 a year for the rest of their life, if they did a shitty job or if they did a good job. You know, that's ridiculous. And then we got things like this, the Marine in Tucson who was shot in his home. You know, what is this? Indiana, Wisconsin, Ohio even, with the unions trying to mess with this. They don't get it. The government, Barack Obama, you know, I give a rat's patoot what color that man is. He's unlawful as a president. He's a piss poor president. He shouldn't even be there. And he got there in a corrupt manner, and he's torn this country apart. He's destroyed our financial thing. Him and Geithner and Chas Sunstein and Eric Holder, all of them are. I mean, even the Supreme Court. I mean, they should not be on that Supreme Court unless they're a constitutionalist 100%. And this crap of the, you know, the people who vote them in there or give them recommendations for the president to say yay or nay, that's ridiculous. That's a slap to the American face, and we have to pay for them to sit up there and talk to this person and have them lie to our face. I mean, it's totally ridiculous that we've let it go this far, but we're going to have to wait and be prepared. When they come for our guns, they say that guns aren't, I mean, as soon as they said that it was illegal to grow gardens in our yard, we stood up and said, don't try to enforce it here because we will resist with violence if necessary.
I would love to see them try and enforce that.
I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, all the farmers would get up in arms, and, you know, they're trying to hit these little people, but when they start hitting people, like in my community, everybody knows the farmers. Everybody knows the dairy farmers, the pig farmers, and the cow farmers. There's no way they can sit in there and say this person was doing this and this and this without everybody else saying, I don't think so. We have to band together and know our neighbors. Because if we know who our neighbors are and we know the people in our community, regardless of what they believe in, but just know them and befriend them, we don't have to worry about someone coming from the outside of the government going to their house and lying about what they were really doing there. Have block parties again. If the mayor says you can't have a block party, tell him to go screw himself. You guys want to have a better community? You take it in your own hands and have a better community. And if all the people in that community say, you know what, back up, turn your cars around and go back to your office and stay there, they would stay there. Because you give them no choice but either you do it or we're going to bust you in the ass. Period. You back down, they're going to run over you. They're nothing more than a freaking high school bully trying to make you bend over. If you resist the bend over, there ain't nothing they can do. But you got to have the numbers. You got to get out there and talk to your neighbors. Talk to the people that you don't. I mean, I'm not talking about going in a bar and getting drunk with the next two or three people. I'm talking about going to your churches, finding out what the people in your community halls, things like that, believe in, and talk to them and befriend them and tell them, you know, this just isn't right what's going on, and we can still save and be kind and have charity and everything else, and have less crime, and have less homeless people, and less people out of work if we did it the right way. And this is the right way, and then lay it out for them. 9 times out of 10, that person's going to go, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, we are the moral majority here. We are the ones who are the majority. People like you and myself, Major. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they call themselves militia or patriots, just like J.J. Johnson said in 95, We don't have to do very much recruiting.
No.
We don't have to say much.
In we don't, because a lot of people, Ohio's been involved with a lot of things that have been going on with the union issues. Yes, I mean, my father's been a union iron worker all his life, and I've worked around unions, but private unions. But I'm not going to, and I can guarantee you, there's a lot of people in the unions that don't agree with what the bosses are doing. but they do have those that go along with them because they're followers. Like Wahoo said, he's good friends with his mayor. Everybody should be good friends with that mayor. Everybody should. Maybe that mayor would know more about what he's doing wrong and what he should be doing if everybody and his friends, who was real friends, told him, you can't do that. You should not be doing that. And if you're friends with your mayor, your township trustees, you can approach them. But if you've never been involved with it or even talking to them before in a respectful manner or in a friend-type manner, I mean, they're not going to listen to you when you just all of a sudden jump in their face and start, I don't like what you're doing. You got a bunch of communists and all this other stuff. You know, you got to get your communities together again. People got to go out and learn who their neighbors are. Even if it's taking them out for a cup of coffee in the morning before they go to work or meeting them for lunch or, you know, inviting them over for dinner. Like I said before, having a block party. Oak Harbor used to have a lot of block parties. You know, there's people that tell me, well, I got to have a permit to fly a flag. Well, you know what? Try to force me to get one and take my flag down. It ain't going to work. My county is, you know, I can't say anything about a lot of the other counties, but I can tell you what, Ottawa County is a very good county in the aspect that, yeah, it does have its faults. Yes, it does. But it also, it's a fair county in a lot of ways. And it is not a county that's beyond hope from changing, because even a lot of the people in the law enforcement and the sheriffs are seeing what's going on, and they're not happy with it. And, you know, even our state highway patrol are not happy with it. They're seeing the bad point now, and a lot of people, you know, it really wasn't that bad. As long as they could live, go to work, buy whatever they wanted, stuff like that, their rights weren't being infringed upon. So what? What did they care? Now's the time to change those people's minds and say it does matter. Because if we lose ours, you lose yours. Not because of what we'll do, but because they took ours, they'll take yours. The government's big enough to give you everything, they're big enough to take it away. And right now, they're doing it.
King George couldn't even dream of having the kind of power that the federal government has now. He would probably speak against it if one of his royal governors or whatever they were called back then, if they started doing these kinds of things, I bet you King George would have something to say about it. Even King George. The great dictators of the 20th century, 21st century, they didn't even have these powers. To tell me that I can't grow a garden in my backyard, a permit to fly a flag, license and registration for a dog. You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, you know, some things I can agree with, some things I can't. But it's just like Wow said, small towns are great. I would hate to live in a city.
Yeah, it's not that great. Not to mention a city in Illinois.
Yeah, it's. I love living out in the country because I mean, you can pull out a pistol,
really?
And just go shoot whenever you want.
Yeah, that must be nice. But really, what? Everything in terms of resistance here, resistance to, let's just say, Senate Bill, what was 510 or something with the whole, you can't have a garden.
Yeah, SB 5, yeah. And it got mixed with another one when it went through the House, and then it came into the Food Safety Act, which, It's like a 2,000 page bill, so there's so many little things hidden in it. You know, letting them get away with that, I mean, that's just ridiculous because, you know, all that pork that's in it and everything else, I mean, those bills really don't need to be more than one or two pages long. Short and sweet to the point that our founders did. I mean, hell, how many amendments did they get on, what, 3-4 pieces of paper? Depending on how you write it. And they got computers today and they can't get it done. But the problem is we got too many lawyers, too many judges thinking, hey, we can put this here in this little back door issue going. These loopholes in there. We may need them later. That's what politicians are doing. They work in those loopholes. And then they got the people that are rich running everything from behind the scenes. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Get rid of the IRS. Put us back on a gold standard. Start producing our goods back in this country again. Stop buying them from China. They want to send stuff over here. For everything they send over here, they got to buy one of ours. You know, fair trade. Stop making backdoor deals like the government's been doing. I haven't agreed with what the government's doing for decades, and it's getting worse and worse, and I can see it coming to a boiling point. And September, something's going to happen in September. Just gut feeling. Watch out for it. Just be ready. You should be ready now, but be ready then. But have all your gear that you're supposed to have. Do some training. Get your food stocks. You don't have to buy MREs. Canned food. Just can your food and, you know, buy staples like flour, sugar, something like that. Put it in pails because you can make a whole, save a lot more space. You can get a lot more food, even though you got to cook it yourself, but you got a lot more food in that same, you know, space that you will with those MREs.
Right. Do apologize. I want to take a step back and talk about what I was earlier. Let's just use Senate Bill 510 as an example. The federal government now says that you are not allowed to have a garden. How can we effectively resist and totally phase out any bill that comes from Capitol Hill? If you ask me, just don't listen to it. And when one of the boots on the ground for the Senate Bill 510 enforcement, let's just call them SB enforcement. How about that? There we go. They come knocking on your door or walking around to the back of your house because they don't care. You are not allowed to have a garden anymore, of course. Notify everybody in your neighborhood through a phone tree. And everybody in your neighborhood converges on the one or two SB enforcers. So it comes down to obtaining a mindset of, oh, really? Think that's how it's going to go, huh? No. This is how it's going to go. You are going to listen to me, or there will be repercussion. You cannot tell me how to live my life on my property. I am the sovereign of this country. You are my subordinate, and you will listen to me, plain and simple. This is how we can affect change, is by obtaining the Constitution and Declaration of Independence not as pieces of paper, but as mindsets. Can you guys still hear me? Major?
Yeah, I can still hear you. I was just muted.
Oh, okay. Somebody says we lost you. We lost me. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that. Lost where I was. That kind of sucks. But, I mean, there is no authority to any of this. And like you had said, the IRS and the Federal Reserve. First of all, where is your constitutional authority? Oh, the 16th Amendment. Where in the world does it say the Federal Reserve or the IRS? Pretty sure it says Congress. And if I'm not mistaken, if we're reading the Constitution here, Congress can't just delegate a job that they are delegated to do by the Constitution. If I did that at work, I'd get fired. The Constitution is the law. No questions. You are to obey the Constitution, Congress, Article 1, Section 7. These are your jobs. Do them and do nothing else. First 10 articles to the Bill of Rights, or the 10 articles to the Bill of Rights. These are the people's freedom. Do not touch them. Do not construe them. Do not construe them. Do not distort or question them. It is unquestionable. This is it. It's laid out in the Constitution. I'm done repeating myself on this. We need to obtain the Declaration of Independence. Read it. It'll take you 2 minutes. Understand what it means. Read, flip through, skim through the Federalist Papers. Won't take long if you just skim. You will get the idea. Understand where our founders have come from. You can get a book on Amazon of George Washington's writings for $7. Understand what they knew. Understand what they dealt with. And understand and dissect and meditate whatever. Think about what their mindset was. Personal freedom. And for some people, personal freedom might be the personal freedom to sit on your ass all day and watch NASCAR. And that's fine. But to me, personal freedom is something much more in-depth than being able to sit on my couch. Personal freedom is being able to work and spend my money as I like. A thief is a thief. I don't care if you have a business suit or a ski mask. My idea of personal freedom is being able to work and not have a cent of my money stolen. My idea of personal freedom is being able to live on my own property and not pay a yearly rent to an agency that is neither constitutionally moral, or excuse me, constitutionally valid, or has any kind of moral authority to be doing this to me.
Right.
Look at somebody in the face who says these things, whether it be your mayor, your sheriff, anybody, any politician who decides to impose things like a license and registration for a dog. Look them in the face and say, who the fuck do you think you are? Don't you come onto my property and tell me what to do. This is my property. You are a guest here. If you have no warrant, then see your way off of it. Don't let the door hit you on your ass.
Yep, on the way out.
You might slam the door on their ass, which that's a different situation altogether.
It, we buy a piece of land in this country, it's ours. We're done with it. No more taxation on that land. They want to tax my income to a certain amount, that's fine. But when it comes to my land, my home, no one should be able to touch that, period. Because it doesn't matter how bad the economic situation gets, I've got a place to stay, sleep, and eat at. That, I think that's what our founders really intended us to, is, you know, if we're landowners, that can't be touched by the rest of the government. Cannot come in there and say, well, you owe taxes on this land and this money you own. Well, they're taxing the hell out of everybody, and I guarantee it's not doing any good. It hasn't improved our schools, hasn't improved any of the services. It's just made more people richer that don't pay the taxes.
Now, this actually came up. I'm glad you brought that up. The taxes do not go to the school system. They do not go to the roads. They do not go to anything that they say they go to. They go to interest on the debt. And guess what? Men who were 20 years before their time, 15, 20 years before their time, were saying, what's going to happen when all taxes collected go simply to interest on the debt? What is it now? $12 trillion in debt? Are you kidding me?
14.
I bet you 150% of all income tax, state, local, all these bullshit taxes that are laid on us won't even come close to touching capital on that debt. It's all interest.
Well, there's no way we could pay back this debt. And insult to injury, they're going to give they're going to give all these Middle Eastern countries a lot of money.
They gave Pakistan billions of dollars to put a Pakistani Sesame Street on the air. You have got to be kidding me. This country... $12 billion for a foreign country, or I'm sorry, not 12, I know it's billions of dollars, for a country to have a Sesame Street show on television. Excuse me?
Has anybody seen what Glenn Beck's been doing the last few nights, some of the things he's been putting on there?
I'm not sure. I haven't watched television in several months.
I mean, this man's coming up with some information. I mean, it's accurate information that his guys are coming up with that have these countries over there, these Middle Eastern countries, having kids sing songs about destroying the world, lighting it on fire because Allah told them to. How to turn Israelis into monkeys. I mean, all kinds of stupid stuff. And this is what they're in it. You know, they're teaching their kids. And these people are allowed to run amok in our country and disobey our laws, disobey everything, and they're not touched. And we're looked at as the terrorists when we say, hey, we don't like that. You know, we stand up for our rights. We get abused. They abuse the rights, or they don't even really have any rights under our Constitution. They're not a citizen of this country. That paper, that Constitution does not apply to anybody outside this country that is not a citizen of this country. That's just the way it is. I mean, it says, we the people of these United States, not of the world. And we got idiots out there like, Aguilera saying, oh, this applies to all people in the world, and this is a girl that all these teenagers are looking up to? Seriously, I think we need better role models for our kids and just refuse to buy their albums or listen to their music or any of that stuff because they're polluting the minds of our kids. They've been doing it for a long time. These reality shows, you know, stab somebody in the back for money. That's all it's about, stabbing somebody in the back for money or just use them long enough to get where you need to go and then knock them off so you can win money. That's all those shows are about. And that mentality, a lot of people are sucking it in. You don't have to be a kid to be pulled in by this stuff. But a lot of people think, oh, that's the greatest show on earth. Well, no, I don't think so. You really think of what's behind it. I mean, I tell you, I don't raise my children that way. But when people just refuse to watch stuff like that, those people won't have any money because nobody would be watching their show, so they won't have a show, so they won't make money off of it. We've given them the power just due to laziness. But, you know, I can see right now people are waking up. Tea Party groups and 912 groups are saying, you know, what we're doing, what we've been doing for all this time isn't working. What do we do now? And there are a lot more people, and I mean thousands and thousands of people, that are awake. They just don't have any direction. And that's where you got to be public. You know, go out there and talk to them.
Now, in the chat room, we are talking here about the Japanese teaching hatred of the Chinese. And then unleashing holy hell on the Chinese. Forgive me, I do not know exactly what that's talking about. But my point...
Centuries.
I'm sorry?
That's been going on for centuries. The Japanese and the Chinese have been having wars against each other before the U.S. was even, you know, populated.
Gotcha. Well, my point here is they have stolen the youth. They do not teach. Well, they do, but they don't actually teach the revolution in public schools. They do not teach what our founders envisioned. I'm not going to lie. When I was in 8th grade, we had a 100-question test on the U.S. Constitution. I scored a 98, and I was not even interested in the Constitution. I will not lie. After I took the test, I couldn't remember a damn thing. And everybody else was the same. I'm not trying to brag here. What I am saying that for is that they are making these things... They have a very sick algorithm for everything. Now that goes to how the teachers are teaching their students, to where they retain the memory for all of about a week until the test, and then it's gone. The algorithm for the psychological testing for police departments and sheriff's departments, to where they put in the only the people who will obey. Now, there are police officers and deputy sheriffs who will not obey. Some of them get in. But these bigger cities, Los Angeles, New York, even New Orleans police officers. New Orleans is a prime example. SWAT teams went door to door telling people, if you have guns, you're going to give them to us. And who was that black man who got up in front of that, front of that podium saying, nobody will be able to be armed? Was he a sheriff or was he a police chief or something?
I'm not really sure.
Either way, he was law enforcement. And to my knowledge, nobody has been held accountable for the atrocity that was the confiscations after Hurricane Katrina.
They tried that here, that the sheriff would be not able to, nobody would hear him because everybody would be laughing. They would be laughing so hard they would not hear another word he said. We got to confiscate all your guns. Because, I mean, there'd be, yeah, right. I think half the cops would be laughing too because they'd be like, I don't think so. I don't make enough.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, that's the one place I like about living out here. The people out here, you can say that, but you know what? Come to my house and see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one cop that is in our township police department that would do that because of the fact is he lives in this township next to those people that have guns. There's no way in the world he would say, I'm going to obey that order and do it. Because he wouldn't last long. It would not be just them and a SWAT team going to a house and then trying to knock the house down and thinking that they're going to make it to the next one because the first one they hit would be the last one they hit. That word goes quickly around this county, and I tell you what, people will not give up their guns. They don't agree with it. They're not going to do it.
Now, that sheriff in Indiana, who hours after the ruling by the Indiana Supreme Court, said he'd go door to door if he felt it was necessary, whatever that means. In my eyes, is guilty of conspiracy.
He's guilty of violating his oath. He's guilty of a lot of things. He's guilty of, I'm sure in Indiana's constitution they have his authoritative measures, and he goes against the people. I mean, what they should be doing right now in Indiana is going around with a petition with all those people live in that county and saying, this is what he said, yes or no.
Recall.
Take it to the coroner. Tell the coroner, your job, you want your job tomorrow morning? Get rid of this man tonight.
Exactly. For those of, I'm pretty sure people listening right now and who will listen in the future don't need to be told, but I'm sure those of, there are those who might. The coroner actually has power above the sheriff. The coroner is has the power to remove the sheriff.
Yeah, he's the only lawful person allowed to move the sheriff, yes.
That was just for the viewers, or listeners. We got 4 minutes here. I want to touch on a couple things real quick, and then we'll I'll leave it to you, Major, to finish up any last thoughts. Actually, that's a good question. What about the constable? Now, I lived in Texas, and I saw constable vehicles, but I never quite understood the constable. What would that be? Are you sure?
I would believe that would be the magistrate in Ohio. I'm not really sure, because we don't have constables up here. I believe that would be a magistrate, and they're an elected official. They would have to go by the coroner's recommendation, because the coroner has the overall authority to say to the judge, this man needs to be removed from his office, and then they write the order, and then it's done. I believe that's how it works. I could be mistaken, but I do believe that's how it works. But the coroner has to say, no, he's not fit for duty.
Okay.
But I would imagine if the coroner's not available, there has to be someone in next line in succession, and maybe the magistrate or the constable is the one that would do that if the coroner is not there, or he is, you know, he dies or something like that.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'd have to look into that. But that okay. is a good question.
Well, yep, we're coming close to the end of the broadcast tonight, so say a few things here. If we truly want to affect change, I really shouldn't say that. If we really want to affect a restoration to our Constitution, what we need, if you ask me, is a mindset. A mindset of not rebellion, but resistance. A mindset that creates the fear of the people that all government must have. Well, if we pass this bill and try to enforce no American having a garden in their backyard, what will the repercussions be? Well, we won't have a job for much longer. We need to instill the fear that if they do this for much longer, that they will be in the unemployment line, that we will legally have them removed, and if it comes to it, we will defend ourselves, our property, our family, and our community by whatever means necessary. Sorry, go ahead.
That's the mindset everybody needs. Is there's not, you'll be out of office or, you know, on the unemployment line. You try to enforce that against us, there will be no tomorrow for you. Plain and simple, that's as simple as it gets. Enforce it, that's it. That's the end of the line. You cross that line, you're done. That's the Second Amendment. I'm defending my rights. That's it. I mean, this is my country. You're not to mess with it. Period. this is the way it's supposed to be. This is the way we're going to live it. We're not going to play within your rules. You're going to play according to the founder's definition and the rules that we want you to play in. That's the way it is. There is no unemployment line. You force that to us, the people that are enforcing that are going to pay a big price because we're not budging.
Well, that's what Washington said. The second article is, or I'm sorry, the Constitution is second in importance only to the right to keep and bear arms. It is the people's liberty's teeth. Now, I apologize if I didn't get the wording precise and correct, but that was the undertone. That was what he was trying to get out there. Our right to be armed is not negotiable.
Shall not be infringed.
Exactly. Now, people are arguing about, I'm not going to get into this, maybe next week.
Yeah.
But we do got to get going. So, Major, any final thoughts, anything to leave the viewers with?
No, other than this has been a very good show. Very good show. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. It's always an honor, sir.
Thank you.
But, yep, gonna sign off for everybody. For those of you who are listening to a download, I broadcast at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays. So be sure to tune in. And through there, you can interact with me. You can ask my guests or myself questions. Drop your name in the chat room that we have, and we will bring you on through Skype. I really want listener participation. I know my email has changed for my loyal viewers, listeners. Oh, I keep saying viewers. I apologize. My email changes a lot, but this is the one I'm keeping for a while. fox.ohmm@yahoo.com. Please do email me. I have a BlackBerry. I'll be able to get back to you immediately. I want to know what you liked, what you didn't like, what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear. I want to hear everything. I want to hear what you people think of this show. Because what I think of, what's always in the back of my mind, is somebody leaving the page, either in the middle or after the show, wondering, what the hell did I just listen to that for? 2 hours? So that will always be a thorn in my side, and I haven't gotten any listener feedback. So please do take a few minutes and let me know what you guys think. I'd really appreciate that, what kind of shows, what kind of guests, whatever. But until then, I'm going to sign off. Thanks again, Major, for coming on. I really love having you on. And for everybody else, stay frosty out there. See you next week.